We're about to begin Yeshaya Perek Gimel. The last Perek, we learned the harsh rebuke against the haughty, the people who felt they were all powerful, and the one thing that they seemed was greater than them was their Avodah Zarah, was the idol worship. But they had silver and gold, and their land was just, they used that to fill their land with idols. And it was told that their haughtiness, their greatness would be lowered by Yishach Odom, by Yishpal Ish. They would be bowed over, they would be humbled, they'd go hiding in the tunnels. Now the Novi continues in Perek Gimel. Kihine ha'odon, because behold, the Master, Hashem Tzvokos, Hashem, is going to remove all of the critical elements that Klal Yisrael needs to exist and to flourish. But before we see the list, the Gemara says in Chagiga, Rashi brings it down, Yeshaya HaNavi gave 18 curses to Klal Yisrael, and he still wasn't comfortable. He didn't feel that he had cursed them enough. That's what the Gemara seems to imply. Lo niskaru adaito, his mind wasn't calmed down until he gave them the final curse of Yiravu, Hanar, Bezokain, that the Nar, the simple meaning is the young, will rule over the one who's older, and the power will be by the young generation, and the older ones will be subservient. But these are 18 curses we're going to learn that Yeshaya gave, and the Mefarshim learned that it's a nevuah that these things would happen. That these things would happen. But kihine ha'odon Hashem tzvokos. We talked about the fact that the men felt they were bali gaiva, they were so powerful. And now Hashem is going to show that He's the master. Kihine ha'odon, the true master. It's Hashem. And tzvokos, the word tzvokos means Hashem controls all the hosts, everything in heavens and earth. And Hashem is now going to demonstrate who's in charge. In Maaser, Hashem is going to remove. It seems to be in a very easygoing, without any major revolution, He's just going to remove from Yerushalayim and Yehuda. From Yerushalayim and Yehuda, Mashein u'Mashein, a support. Now Mashein is Lashon Zachar, like a man that you could rely on to support you. And Mash'ena would be, Zloshen Akeva, like a woman who would be able to support you, with the understanding that the man has a greater strength, a greater power, that Klal Yisrael won't have the great support, and they won't even have the minor support. They won't have the Mash'ein, and they won't have the Mash'ena. Kol Mishan Lechem, all support of bread, of what to eat, of Parnosa. V'chol Mishan Moyim, and any support of water. We're going to discuss all the different things, and the Malbim discusses how each level, whether we're missing the warriors, whether we're missing the Chachamim, whether we're missing the leaders of the generation, there's the greater level and the smaller level. There won't be the Mashein, there won't be the Mashena. If people will tell you what you need to live on, the minimum is bread and water. Now, of course, to provide bread is a major support. And we won't have that. We won't have the Mishan Lechem. There won't be the support of bread. Providing water, water is usually cheap. But V'chol Mishan Moyim, they won't even have the support of water. Even the relatively, the cheap, the free items, they won't have. This is going to be removed from Yerushalayim and Yehuda, Yerushalayim, which is the greatest place on earth, the place of the Beis HaMikdash, and yet there they won't be zocha to have these things. Certainly in Yehuda, they won't have this. And instead of all the silver and gold that their land was filled with, that we mentioned in Perek Beis, Batimoli Arzo Kesef Vizov, there's no end to the storehouses, their land was filled with horses, and all of a sudden now there's not even bread or water. Gibor, they won't have the mighty warrior. The Ish Milchama. And then there are people who are not mighty warriors, but they know how to play the game. They know how to go to war. They know the strategies. They won't even have the Ish Melchama, the man who knows how to fight. They won't have the Shofet, the judge. And we're talking here about a Shofet that knows how to judge people. A Don Din Emes Lamito, he knows how to get to the truth of the matter. And to have a judge like that can be even more important than the Navi. He's mentioned first. They won't have the Shofet, the judge, that really establishes justice the way it should be. And they won't have the Navi. A Navi focused mostly on Bein Odom LaMokum, our obligations to Hashem. And he could see the future, and he would bring us the Word of God. On a minor level, there could be somebody like a Kosem. Kosem seems to be magic. Somebody who seems to have a charm, who just seems to know what to do and seems to be successful. He's not a Navi who has the Word of Hashem. Sometimes Kosem, in fact, the Torah says, one of the Torah prohibitions is you're not allowed to be a Kosem. But over here, Kosem means a charm. And we'll see the Gemara does darshan all these words, that it doesn't mean literally there won't be people with charms. But those who seem to have the power, that when they tell you what to do, it works like a charm. Like people use that expression, it works like a charm. They might not be a Navi, but even the Kosem we won't have. And instead of the Shofet, the judge, even a Zokain, an elder, where people listen to him and accept what he says, he doesn't have the authority of a judge, but he's a Zokain. We won't have that either. The Gemara mentions in Shabbos that all of these items are there for a drosha. It doesn't just mean in the Gashmias, in this world, we won't have these items. But in Ruchnius, on a spiritual sphere, we won't have it. The Radak brings it down. We won't have a Mishan Lechem, a support of bread. Bread is what you live on. That's the basic staple. That's referring to Bali Mikra, people who know Chumash, people who know Tanakh. The Bali Mishnah is a weaker support. The Mashena, refers to, actually, Mashen is the Bali Mikra. The support is those who have Tanakh. The Mashena, the weaker support, is Bali Mishnah. Because we can't paskin from Mishnayis. Mishnayis gives you a inkling and a feeling of what is discussed in Torah Shabbal Peh. But actually, to paskin from the Mishnah, you can't. It's a weaker support. It's our first, it's the basis of Torah Shabbal Peh. But by itself, you can't learn and rely on what you saw in the Mishnah. For that, you need Gemara. That's the Mishan Lechem. That's the support of bread. That's the Bali Talmud, those who know Gemara. Because from Gemara, you can paskin and know exactly what should be done. And the Mishan Mayim, the support of water, is referring to those who know Hagadata, how to know how to teach and expound on those things that inspire one and draw a person closer to Hashem. There won't be the Gibor, the Mighty One. In a Ruchnius level, the Mighty One means a person who's accumulated, has a tremendous strength in learning. There are some people that whatever the issue at hand is, can immediately have a wealth of material. They know Gemaras, and they know Poskim, and Rishonim, and Achronim, and they just have, whatever the subject is, they come prepared, and they have a total command. That's the Gibor. That's the mighty warrior. And then there's the Ish Milchama. There are some people who don't have such a command, but they're an Ish Milchama. They know how to do the battle. In fact, the Marsha brings down Ish Milchama is referring to those who know how to learn. And they've developed their power of learning, that they're able to approach every with a Torah mind. Their mind is attuned and is sharp, and they're able to think, and they have a savara, which is basically what is worked on in the yeshivas, that the boy should get a understanding of how to approach the Gemara and how to approach an issue. And even if they don't have they're not yet a gibor, they don't have that wealth of material. They haven't learned that much, but they can be that Ish Milchama, the man of battle. The Gemara says in Chagiga that it's referring to the person who knows how to learn, who knows how to be Lisa Velitain Vimolchamta Shal Torah, to debate and to argue in the battle of Torah. Shofei, again, is the judge who's Don Dinem Islamitu, who knows how to judge the honest psak. A Novi is the simple meaning, a prophet. Kosem, a charmer, is, the Gemara says, it refers to a king. Somehow, whatever a king says, the Gemara says, if a king says to uproot the mountain, they'll uproot the mountain. He has a tremendous power, and even though some of his decisions might be foolish, but he has the backing of the government, and the king is, his authority is supreme. So a king has like a charm, whatever he predicts. He's the type of person that it says if the stock market will go down, it goes down. Sometimes it's one of those self-fulfilling prophecies. You can, whatever he sees, seems to happen. That's the kosem. They won't have a king. V'zokain, and a zokain is referring to somebody who's fit to sit, be yeshiva, to sit in the council, in a group of sages, and discuss Torah. Could be some of these is understood that it won't literally mean that it won't exist. To say that the time will come, there won't be any old people, or there won't be any judges, it means a judge that is able to get down to the truth. The Gemara says even if there's a judge who knows, he accepted the testimony, and based on what he hears and what he saw, the law should be decided a certain way. But he knows himself that it's not this trickery here. He can sense out that one of the parties is not being honest. So he's not allowed to paskin the law that Reuven has to pay Shimon if somehow he feels that Shimon is lying and this case is not true. The judge who's a Don Din Emes, he gives a truthful decision. La Amito, to its truth, means he really makes sure when he's paskining and when he's deciding the law, it's 100% correct. And that they won't have. Sar Chamishin. They won't have the officer who's in charge of 50 men. There were officers in charge of 10, in charge of 50, in charge of 100, 1,000. But they won't have any of these officers. They won't even have, which is a relatively minor position, a Sar Chamishin. But that would again be at least a more powerful leader. He's actually in charge of 50 people. Then there are those who are Nesu Ponim. They don't have any real authority, but people show them favor. When they give a decision, their word is listened to and is heeded. That's the mashena. That's like the weaker type of support. But they won't have that either. They won't have the nesu ponim, the one who is shown favor. And again, the Gemara darshans, it could be the reason why the Gemara expounds is because it could have mentioned a sar of asara. The officer in charge of 10 people. Why does it choose Sar Chamishim? And the Gemara says Sar Chamishim is referring to those who Yodea Lisa V'litain B'Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Those who know how to discuss within the 5 Chumshei Torah. Which is not the same as the Mashein, those who knew Mikra. Mikra can mean he knows the whole Tanakh and he has a basic knowledge of everything. While the Sar Chamishim is somebody who's the officer, he's in charge, and he might not know the rest of Nach, but in the Chumash that he knows, he has such a clear, he has a command of it. He's the command of the Chumashim that he's able to discuss with all of the details and the nuances, and really a person could spend a lifetime just learning the Chumash. And a lifetime wouldn't suffice. He could take a pasuk and spend a lifetime on that. It's endless. But the Sar Chamishim, the one who has the command over the Chumash. Unesu Ponim, and the person who finds favor, it could be people who find favor with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, certain tzaddikim, who know how to, the Nosim Ponim Lidoro Bavuro, his whole generation is shown favor because of him. And again, there would be tzaddikim who themselves would be shown favor, and they themselves were great. But to have a tzaddik that, because of him, the whole generation is shown favor, that will be missing. They won't have the nesu ponim. Or it could mean those who there were leaders who sometimes were shown favor by the government. They had an inn, like Rabbi Avo was known, the government, the Romans, though, were showed him favor, and he had an inn with the powers. The Yoetz, an advisor, V'chacham Charoshim, a wise man, Charoshim, Chazal say that when he would speak, everyone else would be quiet. Like a cheresh, like a person who's mute, who can't talk. And when he spoke, there was nobody else who could argue. In other words, he was much greater than all those. But such a chacham charoshim, others learn it can be like to be choresh is to plow. That he could plumb the depths of whatever he was learning and get down to the deeper meaning. And that is again like the mashing, the strong support. To have a support of somebody who with his wisdom will know exactly on a very deep level what should be done. And then there's the Nivon Lachash, those who understand whispers. Like if there would be something like a segula, like an amulet or something like that. A person would know, you whisper, you say these words and things work out. But it's not the Chacham that can delve below the surface, and he has a grasp of it. Nevon Lochash, this person can understand exactly what to say. He understands the whispers. Again, Chazal explained that to mean he understands the whispers. You could whisper to him the greatest secrets of Kabbalah, Maisa Bracious, Maisa Merkava, somebody who has a command of all that. This won't exist. One curse after another. Not a Mashen, not a Mashena, not a Mishan Lechem, not a Mishan Moyim. And I'll make young ones to be their officers. Their leaders will be the young people. Which, if it's a good person, what, you know, the age is not necessarily, doesn't disqualify. They say a story when Rav Chaim Ozer was considered to be the Rav in Vilna. They had a meeting and there was hesitation. He was a very young man. So he said, if you're one concern, I have a blemish of my age. That's a mum over. It's a blemish that will pass. You give it time, I'll be older. If my one problem is I'm a little young, so with time, I'll be corrected. So Chazal explained, the arm here doesn't just mean they're young. It means b'nei adam ha'menu orim min ha'mitzvos. They're like empty. They've shaken off the mitzvos. They don't have mitzvos to their credit. And those are going to be the leaders. V'salulim yimshlubom, and those that mock will rule over them. The Malbim explains that v'salulim is going on these young leaders. The young leaders won't be controlled by their thoughts and by their mind, but they'll be young people with all of the desires and the taivas and the character flaws of a young person with all of the energy and the desires of youth. The Na'arim will be their leaders. The Salulim Yimshulbam, and the mockery here is referring to those bad midos that very often with age a person doesn't have the same desires and he settles down and he's seen a lot and he is able to guide the people. But here they're still, they're being caught up in that storm wind of desires and lusts and all those bad midos that haven't been corrected. The salulim yimshalubam, those na'arim, the leaders, are being controlled by their desires. And that's the nation. And don't think that the people is so good. Sometimes the nation can be good. It really doesn't make a difference who's the leader. Because the people are doing the right thing. But it won't be that way. It'll be v'nigas ha'am. The people will feel pressured. They'll be oppressed. Ish b'ish. One man by the other man. V'ish b'reyehu. And even if it'll be his own neighbor, his own friend, his reyehu, his friend, he'll feel a pressure. The ish will feel the pressure from his neighbor. So the nation needs a good leader. And the leader they're going to have is these na'arim. And the na'arim are controlled. It's a mockery. Because they're doing for their own enjoyment, they're not planning for the future and for the betterment of the people. V'salulim yimshalubam. Chazal also learned with Salulim, a Talo is a fox. So Talulim can mean like foxes. The fox, which is not considered, which is not the king of the animals, it's not the leader, it's a low animal that tries to, with its cunning perhaps, tries to rule, but it's not really, he's not worthy of the position. And the fact that it's a double language, Visa'alulim, the Gemara learns out like a fox, the son of a fox, like the lowest of the low, somehow will become their leaders. Visa'alulim yimshalubam. And the other pshat is, Lafi, the Pasha pshat, as Rashi says, they'll have leaders who don't care for the people. The leaders themselves will make fun of those they're in charge. They got the position, but they don't consider it an honor and a privilege to be able to serve the country. But they'll be using it for their own, and they'll like be mocking all those that were foolish enough to allow them to take office. Now, it could be Hashem will actively remove them, these leaders. It could be, it'll just be that if there aren't the good people, so automatically, v'nasati na'arim, automatically those who will fill the position will be these na'arim. And the people's going to feel a pressure, v'nigas. Some of Forshim learned v'nigas is referring to a lack of a, there'll be a tsarus ayin, a stinginess, which is difficult, that very often a person feels a pressure. He feels a pressure from the other person, which could be a stranger. And sometimes even bereyehu, from his own friend he feels a pressure. Could be his friend's got a nicer house, so he feels the pressure of a nicer house, or his friend made a better simcha. Whatever the story is, they feel a pressure, which a person should, it's a natural emotion, but a person should overcome it. And if a person knows that everything's from Hashem, in the ideal world, it shouldn't bother him. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a person, everyone has his own circumstances in his own life. But the normal situation is there is such a desire. And over here, it's going to become that v'nigasam, they're going to feel the pressure from each other. But even when people feel pressure, usually they feel pressure from their contemporaries. If somebody you know is greater than you are, and he has something that you don't, well, you attribute it to he's greater than I am, and that's why he has it. But the situation will be such that yirhavu hanar bazokein, even the nar, this young person, will domineer and be controlling over the zokein. V'hanikla, the one who is insignificant, will all of a sudden become ruling banich, but over the one who is an honorable person. In other words, everyone will, there'll be a struggle, everyone will want to be on top, and they won't even recognize the natural boundaries of what is understood. An older person should be honored by the younger, and all that will fall away, and the younger ones will take over and won't show the honor that's due to the older. And Chazal learned again, it's on a physical level, it's on the Gashmias, and it's on the spiritual level. There are some people who everything is Nikla. It's light. Even it could be a severe Iser of the Torah, something the Torah doesn't allow, but no, it's not as bad, and there might be somebody who does allow it, and their whole life, you know, everything's okay. There are others who, even what's relatively insignificant, for them everything is serious. It's banichbod, it's a heavy, honorable, important thing. Everything's important by them. The leaders of the people ideally should be those with the greatest yirashamayim, who treat the slightest thing with the greatest understanding of its severity, that we're standing before Hashem. And of course the people aspire to be like him. The time will come then, the nikla, the one for whom everything is unimportant. The avodas Hashem doesn't carry the weight that it should. It's nikla, it's light. And he'll be the one who'll be ruling banichbar over the one for whom everything is heavy, everything of avodas Hashem is important. Yeshaya said all these 18 curses, and then he finally calmed down when he said this last line, yiravu hanar bazokein v'anikle banichbar. A curse like that is such a great curse. The simple meaning is he wanted to tell the people how terrible their ways were. Now they have to correct. So he gave one curse after another, and he finally calmed down when he said this last curse, because he realized everyone would get the message of just how serious it is. But I saw a beautiful pshat. That is, I guess it's a heartening thought. You know, we always think things could always be worse. It's not so bad. It could always be worse. Here's a thought you can think about when Itaka is the worst. Yeshaya kept on thinking to himself, you know, this klal is not so bad. And he added on another curse, another curse, another curse in his prophetic vision until he said the worst thing. And then he calmed down. You know why? Because the worst curse, it says, right before Mashiach comes, chutzpah yaski, there'll be an increase in brazenness and in chutzpah. And the Gemara says that that the young will rise up against the old, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and the Gemara at the end of Sota discusses how the younger generation will take over and not show respect to the elders. When Yeshaya said it, this last curse, he realized it was so bad, that's also good. He calmed down, because that means Mashiach is here any moment. That's it says the ikvasa de Mashiach, right before Mashiach comes, that's the way it will be. So the earlier curses, it could be worse. We can always think, you know, it could be worse. And when it gets the worst, so you can calm down because Mashiach will be coming. This was the situation why Yeshaya told the people. The Gemara says in Shabbos, on Daf Kuf Chof, starts on Kuf Yud Testament Beis, Afilu Bishas Kishlona Shel Yerushalayim, even when Yerushalayim was stumbling, Lo Poskim Mimena Anshei Amona, there were always people who told the truth. And the Gemara brings the Pesukim we're about to learn. Ki Yispos Ish Ba'achiv, when one man will grab his friend, or grab his brother, face of it from his father's house, close brothers, and he'll say to him, Simlo lecha, you have the garment. Katzin tiyalanu, you should be the ruler. They say in a light, vain manner that it's like if you have in a lot of places the rov wears a kapota, or the leader wears the rebbe wears a special bekisha with a special clothing, and you want to choose a leader. So I'll say to him, you know, you already have the clothing. You have the clothing. You might as well be the leader. You know, somebody has to do the job. You know, so you got yisim lo, you have the garment katzin tiyalanu. You should be our leader. Va'machshelo hazos tachas yodecho. And this stumbling, you'll be responsible for it. You have control. You'll be able to do it, and you can correct it. It could be they're telling him that we've just gone through all these curses, and we saw who the leaders of the nation are going to be. So a man finds his brother, and he says, "Listen, if you don't do the job, look who's going to do it. Somebody's got to do it. Simulcha, you have the garment, so you should do it. V'amachshelo hazos tachas yadecha. And this stumbling, that if we're stuck with a bad leader, it's your fault. Because you could do it. It could also be that if there's a time when we don't have the mashein and the mashena, we don't have the support. We don't have the bread, we don't have the water. Parnos is suffering, we don't have the warriors, we don't have the leaders, we don't have the..." So they told him, simulcha, you have the clothing. In other words, you can provide for the people. You have the ability to take care of them. So become the leader. Yisa bayomahu leimar. He'll swear on that day, saying, Lo eye chovesh, I'm not going to be the one in charge. Chovesh could be somebody who locks the people up in prison. Uvevesi ein lechem ein simla. In my house, there's no bread, there's no clothing. You think that I have money, you think I'm wealthy. It's not so. Don't make me a leader of the people. The Malbim explains it to mean, it used to be somebody, everyone would consider it to be an honor to be the leader. And everyone would vie for the position. And those who didn't want to take the position is usually because they wanted to work on their own self-perfection. But the position was certainly a prestigious one. the time will come that one will grab the other, his brother, and he'll say, Simlacha, you have the clothing, why don't you become the leader? The response will be, you're not giving me any honor. Yisa bayoma hulaymer, he'll swear on that day and he'll say, Lo eyechovesh, I know what your leader means. Your leader doesn't mean to bring the people to greater levels of success in their avodas Hashem, or perhaps even in their gashmi, as the leader to take care of all the needs of the people. I'm not going to be that type of leader. I'm basically going to be in charge of putting the crooks in jail and locking them up. That's my job. There's no glory. The people aren't going to be succeeding. It's basically you need a strong man to put up with all of the wicked. Lo eyechovesh. I'm not interested in being the guy who's going to lock everyone up. Uvevesi ein lechem vein simla. And on the contrary, instead of it being good for me personally, if I have the job that I'm going to lock everybody up, my own business is going to suffer. And then in my house, I'm not going to have bread or clothing for myself. Lo sisimoni katsinam, don't make me a leader, because your leader nowadays is not an important position. It's a lowly position of just locking everyone up. But the Gemara in Shabbos explains that this is referring to people's honesty. Thank you. The Gemara in Shabbos says it's referring to people's honesty in Ruchnius. That they want somebody to be the spiritual leader. And he's going to say to them, you think that I have the Simla Lacha. You told me the garment's yours. That all the knowledge of Torah is clear to you like a garment. You look at the garment, you know exactly what it is. And you think that that's the way Torah is for me. And the leader will say, that's not true. Lo eyechovesh. I'm not the type of guy that was sort of locked in the Beis Medrash. Mechovshe Beis HaMedrash. That spent days and nights learning. You think I'm being the big masmid that's acquired such a knowledge of Torah. I wasn't from those that was sitting and learning constantly. In my house, ain lechem v'ain simla. I don't have Mikra, I don't have Tanakh, and I don't have Mishnah, and I don't have Gemara. I don't have any of this. Lo sisimuni kitzinom. I'm not eligible to be your leader. And the Gemara explains, there's other Gemaras that say that there was a lack of honesty. And the Gemara says, kam b'divrei Torah, kam b'maso maton. When it comes to business, the people weren't honest. And people cheated each other. But somehow when you wanted them to become the spiritual leader, then all of a sudden everyone was honest and they said, they don't know. When it came to Torah, they were able to say, yeah, we don't know. But when it came to business, there was a lack of honesty. But he would say, Lo eyechovesh, I'm not the one who was learning. I don't have the knowledge. Lo sisimuni katsinam. Don't make me the leader of the people. Ki choshlo Yerushalayim. Because Yerushalayim has stumbled. V'Yehuda nafal. And Yehuda has fallen. Ki l'shono umalaleim el Hashem. Their language and their talk. Umalaleim and their actions. El Hashem. It's all to Hashem. And Hashem is aware of everything they're doing. Lamros Eine Kvodo. And it's rebelling against Eine Kvodo, the eyes of Hashem's honor. It doesn't want to say the eyes of Hashem, because of course, even though that would mean in a metaphor, Hashem has no physical features. Hashem doesn't have any eyes. But here the Navi didn't want to say the eyes of Hashem, because Hashem doesn't have eyes. He used the expression of Eine Kvodo, the eyes of his honor. But Lamros Eine Kvodo, that before Hashem's eyes, they're acting, they're saying, and they're doing the wrong thing. And as the Malbim explains, each one is a complaint on Klal Yisrael. That first of all, their actions, Hashem is aware of everything they're doing. Hashem is aware of everything they're doing. Hakoras Pneim Ansabam. We'll come back to this pasuk in a minute. But Hakoras Pneim Ansabam. Not only is Hashem aware of what they're doing, but if you recognize their face, you give a look at them, and you see the bold, the brazen countenance, you look at their face, Ansabama like testifies against them. By looking at them, you can see they don't have the purity and the kedusha, the holiness that they should have. So even people can look at them and see that they're not doing the right thing. They did an avera, they stained there, and it was known there, the great tzaddikim were able to look at a person's face and immediately know the person's spiritual level. But it's not only that a person could recognize it on their face, but v'chatosam, their sin, kistom higidu. Like stone, they're sinning like stone, and higidu, they tell it over. Lo chichedu, they don't hold it back. If a person is confronted with his wrongdoing, and the accuser knows he's doing wrong, and the defendant denies it, that's called kachash, to deny it. Kichedu, that term, kichedu, is when the accuser doesn't know that anything was done wrong. There are sins that people aren't aware of. And if we wanted to keep quiet, the people could have kept quiet. And yet, kistom higidu, they told it over, their sins like stone. Higidu, they told it, lo chichedu, they didn't feel the need to even hide it. There was no embarrassment. Oy l'nafshom, woe is to their soul, ki gomlu lahem ra. They've done bad to themselves. They don't realize that they're hurting themselves. And again, ki choshlo Yerushalayim. Right now, Yerushalayim is stumbling. And it could be this is again in the days Yeshaya said Nevuah during Uziyahu, Yosam, Ochaz, Yechizkiyo, these four kings. It could be it was during the times of Ochaz, or the beginning of Chizkiyo, that Yerushalayim is already stumbling. Things are already seem to be going wrong. The Yehuda Nafal, and they're wondering why Yehuda is having a downfall. And he doesn't mention Aseres HaShvatim again because Yeshaya dealt with Yehuda and Binyamin. That's where he directed his prophecy. And they've fallen down from their Madrega. The Targum says Nafal means that they're going into Golis. He envisions them having gone into Golis. And you wonder the reason. Ki Lashonam Umalaleim El Hashem. It could be that their talk and their deeds are toward Hashem. It could be they're showing themselves to be righteous. But lamros eine kevodo. But it's almost as if they feel they're fooling Hashem. You know, Hashem sees what a person's heart is. And we can't pretend to be what we're not. Unless we're obviously trying. A person really wants to improve himself. Sometimes a person has to take that step and tell everybody, you know, from now on I'm going to be careful in this area, and because you're trying to build yourself up. But if it's done as a trickery and you're just misleading and you're not trying to improve, so they may be doing their deeds El Hashem to Hashem and making it sound as if they're serving Him, but it's lamros eine kvodo. It's rebelling against Hashem's eyes because Hashem sees. Hakoras pneim onsabom. This is already, it doesn't even mention a clear avera what they're doing, but just somehow the person's midos, a brazenness, a boldness, ansabom, testifies against them. V'chatosam ki stom higidu, and their averas, they tell over like stone, and as in stone, they weren't embarrassed. The Gemara has a whole bunch of different, discussions of the laws they had in stone. It was part of society. That the laws in stone were set up that nobody should come to visit, and somebody came, they gave him this bed, they gave him that bed, and they had discussions with the judge, how the judge would, how their judgments were. And it was all, they weren't embarrassed to have that kind of life. So v'chatosam ki stom higidu, they told it over like in stone they would tell over what they were doing. Lo chichedu, they didn't hold back anything. Oy l'nafshom, woe is to them, ki gomlu lahem ra. They're just doing bad to themselves. And in times like this, imrut tzadik ki tov, a person has to give chizik. There are those tzadikim, those individuals, who even as bad as things were, they're tzadikim, but they need encouragement. Imru tzaddik, you should say to the tzaddik ki tov that what he's doing is good. His actions are good, and he'll have a good reward. Things will be better. Kifrim alaleim yochelu. They're going to eat the fruit of their actions. The main schar, of course, is an olam haba. But the fruit of it, they'll eat right now. They're going to have, in this world, they'll have their schar. They'll have the fruits of their deeds. And it's the feeling of their accomplishment. It's just not just that they'll get a reward. But their actions, imagine their actions are planting the tree, and then they're eating the fruits of what they've done. Oy le Rosh Ra, but woe is to that evil Rosh Ra, ki gemul yadav ye'oselo. What his hands have done, ye'oselo will be done to him. It doesn't mention the peros, the fruit of his deeds, but his actions will come back to him and come back to haunt him and to punish him. Ami nogsav ma'olel, my nation, nogsav, those that are oppressing the people, ma'olel, they're mocking the people. V'noshli mashluvo, and women are ruling over them. And again, Chazal learn, I don't know if the main thing is that perhaps it's not so terrible if the woman's ruling. But for whatever reason, Chazal learned Vinoshim like Vinoshe. It could be taken as a creditor. The creditors are running the society, running the economy. Those with the money. In fact, the Malbim explains, Ami, my nation, Nogsov. Nogsov are those who press you to pay your taxes, to pay up. Nogsov Ma'olel, the people laugh at the tax collectors. Ami, my nation, nogs of those who are trying to collect the taxes, ma'olil, the nation laughs at them. Because v'noshim moshlubo, because they say, we don't have any money. You think we have money? We owe it all. It's all, we got a big mortgage, and it's got a, we got credit card debt, and we don't have the money that you think we have. So you're coming for taxes on the profit. It's all owed. There is no profit. But Ami, my nation, mashrecha masim, those that are supposed to be putting you on the right path, to have you stride and walk in the correct ways. Masim, they're misleading you. V'derech orchosecha bileyu. And the path, the direction of your paths bileyu, they've destroyed. That somehow, whatever good you do have, and what you have been doing correct, it's been corrupted that you don't even know how to get back on the path. It's like the path has disappeared. So they're now new leaders, and there's a new spirit in the air, and Klal Yisrael has lost its sense of direction. Nitzav lariv Hashem. Hashem is standing to do battle, to quarrel, to debate with the people. Va'omed lo din amim, and he's standing to judge people. It could be Hashem is nitzav, he's standing erect, lariv, in order to judge. Va'omid ladin amin. And he's standing meaning to remain in that place for a longer period of time. Nitzav, he's just standing, he took a stand. He took a stand, lariv, to judge those who did wrong in Klal Yisrael. But va'omid ladin amin. But those nations that took the opportunity when we were weak and they attacked and they caused Klal Yisrael suffering, as bad as Klal Yisrael is, but the nations did more than they were supposed to, they did, and they didn't do it to fulfill Hashem's will, they just did it to hurt Klal Yisrael, those Amim, those nations, Hashem will be Omeid Ladin, he'll stand there and he'll ponder and he'll spend time Ladin to judge them and to give them their just punishment. It could be that it's all going on the leaders of the people. Hashem b'mishpat yavo. Hashem is going to come in judgment im ziknei amo, where the zakenim is the spiritual leaders, the elders of the nation. V'sarov, and the officers. V'atem b'yartem akerem. And to those spiritual leaders, the zakenim, Hashem says, you know, atem b'yartem akerem. You've destroyed the vineyard. Klal Yisrael is like the kerem of Hashem, the vineyard of Hashem. And you've taken whatever potential we had in Ruchnius, and the leaders who are supposed to guide the people, have destroyed it. And the Sarov, the leaders, the Sarov, those who take care of the Gashmias, the mundane matters, Gezeilas Ha'ani Bevateichem, instead of helping out what they've robbed from the poor is in their houses. The Gemara says an interesting statement in Brachos on Daf Vavamid Beis. The Gemara is obviously bothered that if somebody's stealing, you wouldn't steal from the poor. As Rashi says, if you're stealing, the Pasuk could have said, you steal from the wealthy, it's also stealing. But kol shiyadeya b'chaveru shuroga liten lo shalom. If you have a friend and you know he normally greets you, yaktim lo shalom. So make it your point of greeting him first. Shenemar baki shalom v'rodfeu, you should seek out peace and pursue it. V'im nosan lo v'lo hechzir, if somebody greets you and you ignore him, you give him the cold shoulder, you don't respond. Nikra gazlin, you're called a gazlin. It's like you're stealing something from him. He's entitled. Everyone's entitled. If he greets you, he deserves an answer. And if you don't, it's called a gazlin. Shenemar, because of this pasuk here, va'atim bi'artim akerim, you've destroyed the vineyard. Gezeilas ha'oni, what you've stolen from the poor is bivateichem in your house. There are people who there's nothing to steal except for not giving them a response and not answering them. I mean, it's interesting, you see from Chazal how important it is to answer. The Gemara discusses in the middle of Shema, or in between the different sections of Birchus Kriya Shema, but in the middle of Davening, there are certain points where you're allowed to answer, just because, to be civil, that if somebody greets you, perhaps he doesn't know you're Davening. Nowadays, they say if you're in Shul and everyone sees you Davening, so it's understood if you don't respond. But certainly if a person doesn't know you're Davening, a person deserves an answer. But you, the sarim, the officers, gezeilas ha'ani bivateichem, instead of helping out the poor, what you've robbed from them is in your house. Malachem tzedaku ami. Why are you crushing my people? Ufneam niyam tidchanu. And you're like grinding the face of the poor. You're grinding their face into the ground. Neum Hashem Elokim Tzvokos. These are the words of Hashem Elohim, the power, the force, the koach of everything, Tzvokos, who controls everything. Why is this? This is, it could be, it's a rhetorical question, but leaders, why are you doing this? And then Hashem turns his attention to we'll see in a moment, to the faults of the women. The Malbim, though, connects the two, actually. And he says, Malachem tedaku ami. Why are you crushing my nation? Ufnei aniim titchanu. You're grinding the face of the poor. Neum Hashem Elokim Tzvokos. I just wanted to read this. I forgot to bring the sefer earlier. But it's a very interesting quote. At the very end of Chelek Hei in Mishneh Berurah, he talks about Hilchos Yom Tov. And the Machaber says, "Val yitzamtzein b'hotzos Yom Tov." A person shouldn't cut down on the expenses for Yom Tov. A person should know that what he needs for Shabbos and Yom Tov is predetermined. It's the psak, the determination is that what you spend, Hashem will give you. So you can spend freer than you would during the week. On that, the Bir Halacha mentions. He says, Avol bishar hayomim, this is Simin Tuf Kuf Chav Tes. Avol bishar hayomim, the rest of the year, Tzarech kol adam letzamtzein b'hotza osov. A person has to cut down on his expenses. As we know, everything is decided from Rosh Hashanah. And it's not like Shabbos and Yom Tov or your expenses for sending your children to yeshiva. But these expenses are predetermined, so you have to be careful not to overspend. And you'll see what this has to do with Yeshaya in a minute. But he says, V'zeh tochachas meruba al zmanenu. This is a great rebuke against our time. Shabbavonaseinu rabim harbi anoshim ovrim al zeh. A lot of people transgress this, and they don't pay attention how to... They spend beyond their means. V'harbe sibos yesh, and there are many reasons, and he says, Hasiba hagadola shebekulam, the greatest reason is through the women who don't see what the result of their spending is. V'ashrei l'mishe ya'amets levovo, v'lo yashkiach l'pituyom, v'yinal hotzoaz beso b'cheshbon. And the Bir Halacha mentions the fact that a person has to be careful. He has to be careful not to overspend. And the Malbim says, Malachem tidaku ami, you leaders of the people, why are you crushing them? Why are you grinding the aniyim, their faces into the ground? Why are you mistreating them and abusing them and overtaxing them? And the answer is, it's Hashem is giving the answer. Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem says, because the women had a standard of living that demanded that their husbands bring back a large salary to support it. And therefore, the leaders abused the people to have more money so that they could buy their wives the following ornaments. But Vayomer Hashem, Yan ki govu benos Tzion, because the benos Tzion were haughty, the daughters of Tzion. And Tzion is we've mentioned before, it's like the important part with Yerushalayim when we're dealing with the important part, the Beis HaMikdash, or the palace, or the Sanhedrin, or the greatness of Yerushalayim. It's referred to as Zion, as Tzion. And here we're dealing with great, the Benos Tzion. They are women, and they are important. Every Bas Yisrael is important. But we're going to see that it went, and there's naturally a feeling of pride in the fact that we are the people of Hashem. And yet the Benos Tzion crossed over the line between their natural pride in being the honor and being the people of Hashem and dressing and acting in a way to catch people's attention. And as we've mentioned, you know, from the Malbim, also raising the standard of living too high. But Kigovu Benos Tzion, in the last parak we talked about the men. We talked about the men being big Bali Gaiva and what they and their silver and gold. This parak talks about the women. Kigovu Benos Tzion, they were haughty. Vatzilachin in the 2 years Goron, they walked with a outstretched neck. Umesakru Seinoyim, either it means they put makeup on their eye, or it means they were winking and hinting with their eyes to catch people's attention. Especially, we're referring here the with the men. That was what they're blamed for. Holoch betofof telachna. They went and they were like floating. They like walked with they bounced. They like walked in a way to seem higher than they even were. Chazal say that he used to have a tall girl would walk next to two, you know, on either side, be flanked by two short ones, so she would stand out and would catch people's attention that she was taller than the others. Uvragleim takasna, with their legs they inject poison. Eches is like the venom of a snake. That they'd walk and they would click with their shoes and or perhaps they had perfume by their foot, and when they pressed down with a shoe on the ground, maybe it would broke the vial of perfume and it would start wafting in the area, and any boy walking by would also be attracted. And it could be they figured it's, you know, it's fun, it's just fooling around, it's just, you know, whatever, childish, but you know, that's what they were doing. But it was like poison. It damaged once the boys, the men's mind got attracted to that. It's a terrible harm. Holoch v'tofof telachna could also mean they walked like bouncing, like their hair was. They added extra hair to their natural hair to make their hair look fluffy. You know, they did whatever they could do to look as attractive as possible. And we're not talking about here people in their house with their husbands, but we're talking here in the street. V'sipach Hashem kodkod benos tzion. Sakadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara has different ways of explaining this pasuk. But one explanation is sipach is like the word mispachas, like leprosy, like tzara'as. Hashem will take the kodkod, the head of the Benos Tzion, which was so prominent, and the part where you could see the skin, the shiny skin, Hashem will now make that have tzara'as, leprosy. Vashem posein yore, and one pshat posein is like the sides of the head, like the peyah, the pa'as harosh, the sides of the head. Poshein, their sides, where they have hair, ye'ore, will now be bald, will be emptied, won't have hair. The Gemara has other explanations how they will Hashem will cause them to be unattractive. By Yom Ahu, on that day, Yosir Hashem, Hashem will remove a tiferes ho'achosim, the splendor of these shoes. Achosim, again, is from that word, that poison. Either it could be the bell, the shoes might have had bells, they'll remove the bells from it. V'hashvisim, the head scarves, v'saronim, those are ornaments that had the shape of a moon. And these have, there are different explanations exactly what these items are. But hanatifos is some ornament that hung down like a necklace. V'hasheros is a bracelet. V'horaolos is a veil. In fact, the Gemara mentions sometimes there were those who had ra'olos. They had a head veil, and it covered one of their eyes even. And it seemed to be very modest. But it was so overly modest than the norm, it sort of, people were very curious to know what was behind the veil. And it, sometimes what the cover-up is more pritzisdik than not having the cover. But here, these veils and these ha'olos, these scarves, ha'pe'erim is the bonnets, v'ha'tzodos is a leg band, v'ha'kishurim is a hair tie. They had silk things to tie their hair. Uvotei ha'nefesh is some other type of jewelry that hung down, you know, against their heart. V'halachoshim comes from the word lachash, to whisper, earrings. That you whisper in somebody's ear. They had jewelry there, earrings. Hatzabos, the rings. V'nizmei, often nose rings. Hamachalotzois, there were robes. V'hamatofos, and shawls. V'hamipachos, and kerchiefs. V'acharitim, pouches. Hagilyonim is mirrors. They had mirrors that were like from a very thin metal, and you could just roll up the mirror and then roll it up, I guess, like some type of foil, and they could use that as a mirror. But the gilyonim, the mirrors, vasadinim, the linens, vatsnifos, turbans, varadidim, and some translate that as clasps, or some type of metal that's from pounded gold, or vahoya tachas bosem, will be in place of the fragrance, and that perfume, makiyah, the skin will be rotted away. And on the rotten skin, they can't put perfume. I guess it would irritate. But that will be their punishment. V'sachas chagora, and instead of having the beautiful belt, nikfa, will be a sore, it will be an abrasion, banged up skin. V'sachas maisa miksha, and where they had their hair was like hardened, or they used things to stiffen the hair to make it look nice. Now it will be korcha, the hair will be bald. V'sachas psigil, instead of the ornamental belt, machkorasok, they'll put on plain sackcloth. Ki sachas yofi, because this is going to be, instead of their beauty, they're going to have this punishment. And again, the Gemara darshans all these things in other ways, but the idea is that all these things that were misused, well, now that they won't have them, and the women will suffer also. Messiah b'cherav yipolu. Their men, Messiah, sometimes it means even the plain men that weren't mighty warriors, but the men, b'cherav yipolu, will fall by the sword. Ugvurosech b'melchoma, and the mighty ones, the giboyrim, will die in battle. V'anu v'ovlu pisacheha. And the gateways, the doorways, will mourn and lament v'nikosa, and she'll be wiped out, la'aretz teshev, and she'll sit on the ground. There's an interesting malvim. I had a feeling, it reminded me of some groups nowadays. But he says like this. He says, it used to be the custom that a person did not mourn over a gibor hanofil b'mochama. If somebody died in war, they didn't mourn because they didn't want to discourage the nation. In other words, if a valiant warrior died, they made a celebration. They made it a party. They didn't want to mourn over the death of their gibor because everyone, it would demoralize the nation. So they would make a party to show Kikonolo Shem Olam, that if anything, he's a hero and now he has a reputation. And he's a lucky man, v'huha oisher shalom. And they would punish the relatives of this gibor. Even his widow, if she would mourn. Nobody was allowed to mourn when the Gibor died. And therefore, it says the time will come that Gevurosech Bamelchama, the mighty ones will die in battle, and yet they'll mourn, they'll sit by the doorway where everyone can see, and they'll lament because all of the Giborim died. And Vinikosa, she'll be cleaned, and she'll be absolved of any wrongdoing because nobody will punish her, all the Giborim died. It just made me think of these Havdol, Elif Havdolos, these terrible terrorists or whatever. But this, the Malbim says that's part of it, that all the Giboyim will be killed, and they'll The simple meaning again is that they'll mourn and lament by the doorways, v'nikasa, and it'll be cleaned out. All the goodness will be removed, la'aretz teishev, and she'll sit on the ground.